الحمد لله رب العالمين عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسماء ذات البروج واليوم الموعود وشاهد ومشهود قتل أصحاب الأخدود النار ذات الوقود إذ هم عليها قعود وهم على ما يفعلون بالمؤمنين شهود وما نقموا منهم إلا أن يؤمنوا بالله العزيز الحميد الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض والله على كل شيء شهيد آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد المصطفى أحمد المجتبى وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أما بعد One of the great scholars of Islam Imam Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i rahimahullah one of the four imams of fiqh of Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah he said once regarding one of the short surahs of Quran Surah Al-Asr وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ In which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that it is by time that the human being is in great loss except those who believe and do righteous deeds and preach truth and also they preach patience and sabr to others. Sayyidina Imam Shafi'i rahmahullah, he said that if the other Quran was not revealed this one surah is sufficient to enter Jannah and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Imam Shafi'i rahmahullah ne firmaya ke agar koi Quran aur na bhi utara jata to ye ek surat bhi aisi hai surat al-asr jisme Allah ne iman عمال صالحہ اور حق کی وصیت یعنی حق بات کرنے کی اور صبر کی تلقین کرنے کی جو ہے نصیحت فرمائی ہے تو انہوں نے فرمایا کہ یہ ایک سورت بھی kafi hai najat ke liye. So this surah of Quran, Suratul Asr, is such that, as I mentioned, that Imam Rahimahullah said that if this was the only revealed surah, it is sufficient for guidance and salvation as a whole, in brief. Then the question comes, what is the other Quran for them? If this one surah of Quran can give you guidance or salvation and nijat, then what is the other Quran for? The answer is what we majority are suffering, the disease which we are suffering from, that is the answer to it. What is the disease some people are suffering? Is that somehow in their mind, I don't know, shaitan has put it, or the nafs have put it, or it is the result of their ignorance or lack of self-reflection, this has come in their mind. What has come in their mind? That when they read books, they listen to speeches and discourses. It has come in their mind that this thing has been locked in there, that they are doing this to attain knowledge. To know, to attain knowledge. While all books, all speeches and discourses are not for this reason. As I said to you, that when Surah Al-Asr is enough for salvation, which is only a two-line surah, then the other 7,000 lines of Quran, what are they for? What are they giving you? People fall into this trap. They think that when they will know why they are here for, that they are here for a test to please Allah. Every sinful and righteous, they know that. And secondly, when they will know how to get there, then they will get there. They have achieved the purpose. What I again repeat, that they come to understand this, that once we know why we are here, where we should be going, which is Jannah. Even non-Muslims, they know about paradise as well. You ask them, they say, yes, we know paradise is a good place. And Jesus spoke about it, alayhi salam, and Moses spoke about it. They know as well. They know about God, at least they've heard His name, that He is the Creator. They're drug dealers, killers, sinners, leaders of different gangs or whatever they are doing. They know from the consciousness of their heart that this is not right. This is wrong. a killer, someone has lost his mind, that is a different people, not speaking about them, speaking about other people who have this conscience. A killer, when he is killing, a fornicator, when he is fornicating, at least have the slightest idea that I'm not doing something right. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran this reality, that when I have created you, O human beings, I have created you, and then فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have inspired the soul, the person, every human being with righteousness, that what is right and what is wrong, what is fujur, what is sin, what is rebelliousness, wrong thing, and what is taqwa, sinful people, non-Muslims even, they know speaking truth is a right thing. That's why it's called right. It's right thing. Telling lie is not good thing. Stealing is not good thing. Defrauding people is not good thing. So try to understand what I am trying to say to you, that majority of the humanity, yes, they don't have in-depth knowledge, that's right, but the very fundamental truths, they're doing it or not, they're aware of God Almighty, they are aware of that they should be pleasing that God, they are aware that they should be doing right things and not wrong. Then the question is that why are the majority then doing wrong? Answer is same as the question which I posed you in the beginning regarding Suratul Asr. Answer is the same. What is the answer I'm going to give you, inshallah? The answer that why Suratul Asr, Imam Shafi'i rahmahullah said, is sufficient for guidance for a person of understanding. Then where is the other Quran? Where does the benefit lies in there? And the answer is, the other Quran, the other parts and the repetition are there for reminder, they are not for knowledge. That is where me and you fail. Our mashayikh used to say, they used to listen to animals speaking, because some of them could understand the language of animals. And if an animal would do a nasiha, they will listen. If a tree would do a nasiha, they will listen. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmahullah, such a great scholar. A dog is coming in front of him from the other direction. And Imam Abu Hanifa, who is such a scholar, that he is called Imam al-Azam, the greatest Imam of fiqh. From the four, he is Imam al-Azam. Such knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed. He is walking from the front, a dog is coming. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahmahullah, he has his jubba, his chadar sharif, He tries to be cautious and save them so that they don't touch the dog. And then the dog spoke. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmah. Every animal speaks. Every tree speaks. Even stones speak. But you don't have the ability to hear. Those Anbiya alayhimus salam, those awliya Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. Like Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam comes in the Quran. He is speaking with the birds, he is speaking with the ants. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, I hear salam from many stones. They say salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these things do speak in their own way. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah heard, because of his spiritual insight, the dog is saying that, oh Abu Hanifa, oh Imam of the Muslimin, that you are coming across this path and you have actually withdrawn your clothes aside, thinking that I am filthy. If I had touched you and your clothes would have become impure with just 1 liter of water, it could become pure again. The clothes can become purer again. But now you have thought you are better. This thing, this thought of greatness, this thought of greatness which has come in you, that you are better than you're purer, that you are saving yourself from me. When any arrogance, this ego-centric idea enters a person's heart, even 7 seas, the water of 7 seas cannot cleanse it. Accept the fire of hell. Accept the fire of hell. And that is true, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that no person is to enter Jannah even he has arrogance equal to mustard seed or an atom's weight arrogance. Arrogance means when you think you are better than the other is secondary, the other is secondary class, or you belittle that they are mean and you are better. This is called arrogance. And some people, they become so arrogant that they even would not accept truth. They think they are higher than the truth. When truth is presented, when they criticize, brother, uncle, such as, if they are mentioned, they are confronted with something truth, you have not said it right, or you have not done this right. They start criticizing the other person. You are this, you are that. This is a sign that this man is man of arrogance. This is kibr. This is takabbur speaking, not that person speaking. His name will become, if he is persistent in the angelic realm, in the angelic world, the angels, the spiritual world, he will be known as al-mutakabbir, a person who is arrogant. The angels will call him by this name. So whenever you hear one person is advising the others, one person is finding fault of the other, and he is true in that, although there are ways how to do that, and the other person start criticizing back that person because of other mistakes, know two things. This man is faulty. This man has really got that effect. And secondly, he has a more bigger problem which that he thinks he is higher than truth. And what is truth? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Anal Haq, Allah is the truth. Allah's name is the truth. Allah's name is Haq. Haq is the name of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am the truth. Who is ever thinks higher than he is higher than truth, he is so arrogant. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. That is why our mashayikh used to advise, when two people come with a dispute, with an argument, when two people come with a dispute and argument, husband and wife, two parties, two business partners, two brothers, two neighbors, two communities, when two parties, two sides, two groups, they come with a dispute, an argument that they are against each other, how do you decide? The Mashayikh said, when two come, always remember they are not two, there are four parties there. There are four parties there. There are not two, but there are four groups there. Let's say husband and wife or two friends come, two neighbors come. You think they are two and they come to you and you say, okay, yeah, he is nice with me. I might say something good for him. He was not. You already made a mind up, or you already have certain inclination. This is very dangerous. Why it is dangerous? Because as I said, when two disputes, two parties, two groups, they come, they are not two, they are four. How? Two are them, third is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the truth, and the fourth is shaitan, which is the falsehood and which is the evil. So there are four always. Me and you always see only these two people, or these two people have come. This is Bashir and this is Nazir, two neighbors, they have this. This is a husband called such and such, this is wife, and this is two community leaders. But your eyes are only looking like shaitan, only the outward what comes to you. Whilst in the unseen world, they are four. Two are those, and two are who? One is, third is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, if there are three of you, fourth is Allah. If there are four of you, fifth is Allah. So third is Allah, and the fourth is shaitan and evil and falsehood. So now the scenario changes. Now the fight, the dispute is not between husband and wife, which you are going to decide. They are only the mouthpieces of what they are representing. You have to now decide, are you on side of Allah or are you side of shaitan? That is what you are. They put you, if they bring a case to you, if they bring, someone brings a confusion or a problem to you, they put you in a very high test than them. They are fighting over money. And to you, they have put you at the stake. On one side it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Jannah, and one time it is shaitan and hell. They put you in a greatest test. That's why Imam Abu Hanifa rahmahullah, he didn't accept to be a judge. The Khalifa of time said, you be the chief justice of whole of the Khilafa of Islam, Muslims. Chief justice. Imam Abu Hanifa said, no, I am not becoming chief justice. He said, I will punish you. He accepted that punishment. He was killed, martyred because of that. But he didn't want to, he didn't become. Because any person who bring dispute with you or anything to you, remember, they are putting you at a very, very dangerous place. Aye? They have a dispute over houses. They have dispute over a piece of land. they have a dispute over some other petty thing. And what, where have they put you? That you are in a place where you have to choose between Allah and Shaitan. And if you are unaware of this reality, easily people just go toward actually one or the other. Why the Prophet ﷺ said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, never decide on any matter by just listening to one person, one side. Always listen to the two. So when you a person is deciding, there are four parties. And one is the truth, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is a falsehood, which is Shaitan, and you are there actually. So now, yes, he might be your best friend, but is he your better friend than Allah to you? Yes, he might be your relative. Is he more closely related than Allah to you? So this is the reality. So I come back to what I was saying to you earlier on, that the other part of the Quran and the details of the Quran, they are for your reminder. They are not to give you knowledge, just knowledge. Me and you come, we read books, we read Quran, we listen to discourses, and we think we have come for knowledge. No, knowledge can be attained in a very short period of time, the necessary knowledge. So I was saying to you, the Mashaykh also give example, they say, if you want to, let's say, cook something on the fire, on the cooker, you have the pot, you have the best ingredients, curry, whatever, lentils, vegetable, or meat, whatever you have, is good, fresh. The pot is there, you know what should be the end, how it should look. It should be tasty, it should look good, it should have fragrance. And you have end in the mind. Secondly, you know how to cook. You are the best cook of the world. And there you are in the pot, everything is there. And you know how to cook it. You know what to make out of it. But one thing is missing. There is no flame underneath the pot. There is no fire underneath the pot. How will the person cook? How will it actually be made, that curry? Never. And if someone says, and he says, I know, I've got the best one, I know, I'm very expert, he's useless. He's missed the point completely. So that is why I mentioned to people, the 10% of the Quran just tells you where to go, and what to do, and what not to do. And 90% is there to give you the flame, give you the power to do it. We are suffering now, not because we don't know the greatest truths and the right and the wrong, and we don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as such, and we don't know we are going to die. Our problem is, in spite of all knowing all this, where we should be going, we are missing that flame which can actually make us move. You can have the best car in the world. If there is no fuel, where will it go? You are the best driver. You have the best car. How will you travel? That's what we are trying to be. That's what me and you, when those people of us who are saying, I am feeling lazy, I can't carry out the prayers, I can't leave the sins, I can't leave this haram, and I can't do zikr, and I can't do this, and I end up doing this, etc., etc. That's what they are suffering for. And they come, or this in their mind, I already know. You don't come here, especially in our majalis, for knowledge. Your knowledge go into the madrasa. Get admission in the madrasa. Do a course, 2 year, 3 year course of any knowledge. Here, you don't listen for knowledge only. Yes, knowledge does come. Here, people should come is to attain that power, that flame which can make you move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the right direction. So here is, whatever I say in this way or the other way, whatever Quranic verse I mention, whatever hadith I mention, this is not for knowledge. Get this out of your mind. I'm not saying you are dumb, you are ignorant. I'm saying that you lack that power, that passion, that shauk, that eagerness, that thirst to actually survive and travel towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what you, if you have that, then you should say, I don't need to. Listen, I don't need to come. I know. Then you can say, yes, then really you don't need. You can do your own thing. But until you are suffering, you know you are even suffering on the seven organs. You even do not understand the reality of dunya and akhirah. You cannot differentiate something which is going to last forever, something which is lasting only few days. Then really you need that power. So again I come in the beginning what I said, Surah Asr is sufficient. That's why Iman, Amali Sadia, and preaching the truth and becoming patient. That's all what you need. Like Imam Shafi'i Rahmullah said, but what is the other Quran for? So that is why I say to people, I say to brothers, that you should listen, do zikr and listen to discourses for knowledge, for wisdom. No. You already know. You do it for actually because you are feeling lazy. You are feeling lazy to carry out. You are feeling sluggish to actually move on the path to Allah, on the path of the pleasure of Allah, on the way, on the road to Jannah. That is what's happening. So, I mentioned to you in the beginning, again I said, understand this reality. Your problem and my problem, especially people who come into the mosque now and then, is not that they don't know who is Allah, who is Rasulullah, what is right, what is wrong, what they are supposed to do. Even we teach here how you are supposed to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Still, you can be lagging back. Still, you can be sitting there with in the lap of shaitan. Why? Because you are missing that power. That power, that flame, where is it going to come from? Listening to speeches and zikr majlis. This speech, you don't come ever for knowledge. Never I say, I don't know knowledge. I know very, very less. These are for, like the Quran says actually, for, like Rasulullah said, the 10 verses of Suratul Mu'minun, that was Imam Shafi'i, and this is the Prophet Islam saying himself, are sufficient to enter Jannah. Suratul Mu'minun. And what is the rest of the Quran then doing? The more than 6,000 verses in the Quran. And 10 verses are sufficient. The other Quran is giving you some details and really the passion, the tarheeb, the warning, the good news in different, from different angles, different examples, different stories to keep you up and keep you above laziness. If you wouldn't do it, you can have the best knowledge, you can be a scholar of Islam and you'll still be lying under shaitanic wings if you don't have that. So I say to people that if you are feeling lazy, are you taking any medicine for it? If you don't take any medicine for it, then how? If you can't move, you say, I can't get up, are you eating any food? No, then you will feel disabled. What is the food? I say, listen to 4 or 5 discourses of nasiha and the zikr which you are supposed to do. And then this is going to keep you above float, at least actually, so that you can survive and carry on. It's not about what and how, it's about the power now. That what and how I can tell you in 5 minutes. The rest is the power and walking the walk. That is the difficult part of it. And where is that going to come from? I'm saying attending the gatherings of reminders. The Quran is reminder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna hazihi tazkira. Inna hazihi tazkira. This is reminder. Quran is reminder. So, get out of this shaitanic idea. I know this, I know this. Does shaitan know Allah exists? Doesn't shaitan know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Prophet of Allah? He knows more than me and you. Doesn't he know this hell when he has seen it with his own eyes? Doesn't he know this paradise when he has seen it with his own eyes? He has lived in paradise. What is making him shaitan then? Knowledge? Lack of knowledge? No, it is the willingness which he didn't have to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam did. That's what's lacking. Yes, those who don't have knowledge, they come and learn. Alhamdulillah, they can learn in very few hours, few minutes, they can learn a lot. At least the basic. 1 hour they can learn the faraid of ghusl, the faraid of salah, etc., etc. People become Muslim and they learn the necessary knowledge. The rest of you, we are missing that part, and that part I am saying that you will get from that nourishment to cure of laziness, to constant keeping the company of the pious, listening to the bayanas and majalis and attending the majalis of dhikr. They are there for that reason, to actually that keep you above and keep you steadfast on the path. Even if you are sinful, even if you are no matter to the extreme sins you have gone, still keep coming and this will help you. And very briefly today, I just want to give you an example of the journey of man. Most of you have seen this, but what is seeing beneficial? When you are still dumping down your head in the feet of shaitan, what have you seen? You've seen nothing. There were people who have seen and known this. Once they know and they never actually went that side. Finish the matter was. Years and years, they say, the mashayikh say, the stomach and the heart are so close, but people spend 50, 60 years and they could not travel this journey from the stomach to the heart, from the dunya to the purification of the heart. How many days? One or two spans? But how long does it take to purify the worldly, the love of world, or the stomach represents the dunya? So heart is closer. This is a journey of two spans. You can put your hand and tell it. But by reaching from here to there, reaching the purification of the heart, it's closed, but how many people reach? So it's not about the knowledge only. Knowledge is only when you do not have the fundamental. And today, many people, they alhamdulillah have, they are lacking the eager. They have the yearning for drugs, they are taking drugs. They are having the yearning for the opposite gender, they actually are doing that. Even though knowing this is sinful, they are misbehaving, they are making Rasulullah s.a.w. cry and weep, they still end up doing it. Why? Because they have eagerness, they have yearning. And why they have yearning? Because they keep hearing and listening and watching these things. Hearing, listening, watching will create this want. That's why I am saying to you that if you hear, listen, watch the majalis, inshallah, then that type of yearning will come. Doesn't the Coca-Cola company know, the people enough know about Coca-Cola? Why are they advertising now? Have you ever said to written to them, we already know, you know, what is Coke, why are you wasting money? Why? But regarding deen, regarding Quran and hadith, you end up saying, yes, I you say, Imam Sahib, I know this. It's not about knowing. Tell the Imam, I'm practicing this. Then he can stop telling you. Because he'll tell now, go and say to the others. If you know it, practicing it, then say to the others. Convey to the others. That was the message of Anbiya alayhi salam. Don't tell the scholars, the Imam, the elderly, the parents, the others that you know, because knowing is nothing. Shaitan knows all these realities. In spite of that, actually, he is Shaitan. And you will be Shaitan as well, in spite of knowing these things, when you will behave like Shaitan as well. If you want to tell someone, go and tell them, yes, I have practiced this. I am doing amal on this. I practice this hadith. I practice this verse of Quran. Finished matter. Congratulations. Mubarak. Now convey to the others. That's all. Finish. No one is going to say to you. But still, the mashayikh, awliya, salihin, they like to listen to reminder. Rasulullah sallallahu used to say to sahaba, recite Quran. They said, Ya Rasulullah, Quran has been revealed on you. And you saying, recite Quran, you want to? He said, yes, I like to listen to the reminder, the tazkira, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So here you are in great danger. So you have seen where we came from. If you look at the screens, especially young people, came from nowhere, nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us from nothingness, and then a drop of fluid, and what he has made out now. And you forgot such a being who done such a favor to you. You throw, a person becomes unclean with that fluid. You hate, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned that into you. This is what Allah can do. If He wants to purify, He can purify anyone. But here He has given freedom that you also do your part. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in the purest form in the world of spirits and took a promise from us that will you abide by me or your shaitan? Then we are here on the face of the earth. And regarding this earth, I want to show you today a little bit that how this thing which you are making so big out of it, and are displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ruining your life, how big that is. Look at the earth. Is zameen ko dekhe kitni badi hai jiske liye aap Allah aur uske rasool ko chhode baithe hain. Main chhoda baitha hoon, main bhula hoon. Main apne aap ko sabse badtar kam tar samajhta hoon. Allah ke ilm mein kya hai wo Allah jaane. Koi wali nahi, koi momin nahi, muttaqi nahi. Humare mashayikh ne farmaya, whoever will claim sainthood and he is not a saint, he knows he's not a saint, there's a possibility he will die as a kafir and disbeliever. So beware of that. Never claim. If you're not saint, you go in Jannah maybe one day, even if you're a sinner. But if you're not a pious person, then you pretend and you say to be pious, and knowingly that you are not, you do not befit that, then you are in danger of dying without iman, because you are assigning a lie to Allah, because you are as though you are saying, Allah has made me friend, and you are not friend of Allah. Yes, all believers, Allahu waliyul ladheena amanu, they are in generally they are friends of Allah. But I'm talking about the khasusiyah, the special, the wali of Allah. So never claim. If anyone claims, like Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, to be a prophet, he instantly becomes a disbeliever. And anyone falsely claims to be a wali, he doesn't become instantly disbeliever, but there's a possibility he will die as a disbeliever. So you should bear witness on the day of judgment of me that I never said, no say to anyone, I am even muttaqi, saleh, or wali at all. On the day of judgment, I don't want you to come that I have been giving this man a gift because he was pious. If someone gives gift to me thinking I am pious, they should never give anything. And respect. So never, I make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala witness and you that I am sinful, and if Allah has blessing, He forgives, that is His favor. But don't be in this dilemma or this delusion that I am pious or anyone else. If you are pious and you know you are pious, good and well. That is, if people know I am a wali, whoever is knows he is a wali, alhamdulillah, he can say it. If he wants. But I'm talking about myself. So one should make matters clear. Anyway, this is the earth. How small it is. How does it look? Look at it. This is all it is on the face of the earth. Nighttime light. View from the space, but very from close. This is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing day and making the night go and the day to come. This is in the daylight here. Different parts. The part which we have also, as you say, whole of one part is water. There we are, in the family of our other planets. Other planets. Yeh hai zameen dusre siyaron ke, yeh mareekh hai dusre jo siyare Allah ne banaye, the other planets which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made, Venus, Mercury, yeh hai sare. These are also planets. But look, Allah chose to give life to the earth, although you others are planets, dead planets as well. Similarly, if your heart is like those planets who are fire now, who are dry now, who are lifeless, your heart is like that, Allah has the power to make your heart alive like the earth now. Like all life flourishes on the earth from the seventh planet, or 11, or how many ever there are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better. He can choose. Will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, yeh zameen hai aapki, kitni badi dekhein, it's almost Venus, and it is equal, little bit bigger. Now look at some bigger planets in the same family. Ye jo sitare aapko nazar aate hain, chote chote nazar aate hain, wo chote chote nahi hai, they are not. Look at this. Ye Saturn hai. Ye Jupiter hai. Where is mine and your earth? Ye hai. Ye hai choti si. Kitni choti hai. How small it is. जिसको हम बहुत बड़ा बना रहे हैं, दुनिया दुनिया, this and I want millions, billions, kings of the world and the kings of, what is there? Look at it. Compared, tafakkur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, do tafakkur, reflect upon the creation of heaven and earth. This is reflection. This is not knowledge of science, this is Quranic knowledge. Science is the knowledge of nature, and the nature is Allah's work. Meaning about the heavens and the earth and things. So, this is, you should compare then how big you are and how big other your problems are. What are you losing? To ye dekhen ki aapki zameen kitni choti hai. Uske baad aap dekhen suraj. Ye aapka suraj hai. This is your sun. This is our sun, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. It gives light and heat. But where is Jupiter? Look how big it was looking before. Ye kitna bada hai. Lekin suraj ke samne dekhen, wo kitna chota ho gaya. How small it is. This is reality. Ye hai haqeeqat. Ye hai zameen aur asman. Aur zameen kahan hai? Where is the earth? Look. It's a dot. Ye hai zameen. Aap kehte hain main ye hoon, mera itna bada ghar hai, mere itne hain, I have so many cars and things. There you are. Ye hai sab kuch. And this is for which you are forgetting everything and becoming lazy and losing your eternity. success in eternity. Aage dekhe, suraj kitna bada hai compared to the earth. Look at this. This is your sun now. Isse bhi bade bade suraj hai. This is bigger suns than that. Pollux. Aur ye dusra dekhen. Ye bhi sun hai, suraj. Of other planets. Ab unke mukable mein, compared to them, dekhen, where is your sun? Your sun is looking so small. How big it was looking here. Dekhen. Kitna bada hai. Sankru daha bada as. Zameen se. Ye hai zameen. This is the earth. But even this sun compared to some other suns, ye suraj dekhen, ye kitna bada hai, and your sun is here, small. Earth is invisible, invisible. Nazar bhi nahi aa sakti. Main aur aap nazar bhi nahi aa sakte. Aur ye kaun sa suraj hai, of other planets existing here in the universe. And then there are bigger suns than this big one. Look at them. This is the biggest one which you were seeing for. Yeh hai wo sabse bada nazar aa raha tha. Isse bhi bada dekhe. This is even bigger than that. And me and you, when we are not getting up for the time of prayer, when Allah is saying, command of Allah is to get up, hum kya kar rahe hain? We think how big we are. How big the land are. Even if you become a king of all of the world, it is speck of dust. That is what the awliya Allah can see and understand even more better than this. This is scientific knowledge. So aapka suraj is less than one dot here. Not even one dot, one pixel I say. Phir dekhen, look at this photo here. This you are seeing one of the surroundings of one of the planets, and this is your earth. As I say, if all fit inside the little blue point here, which is all of our global conflicts and wars are here, all of our problems, all of our greatness and our pomp and what we boast about, all of our technology and arts, all of our civilizations, the animals and plants, all of races and religions, all of nations and countries and governments and superpowers and lower powers and everything, all of your loved ones and hated ones. Imagine, this is the point here. This is what the camera is saying, not what how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, not how a wali is seeing. The wali's insight is even greater than the camera. Yet someone knows how many hairs are on your head and who dies and who lives and what when a leaf actually falls, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran in Surah Al-An'am. And with him are the keys, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ, of the unseen. So much insignificant thing as it seems, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, none knows to accept him, and he knows what is on the land and in the sea. Not a leaf falls but that he knows it. How magnificent is the knowledge. How wonderful is the knowledge of Allah. No moist or dry thing but that is written in a clear record. So, indeed, the creation of the heavens and the earth is greater than the creation of mankind. But most mankind do not know. How small it is. Look at this blue dot. This is your earth. Now this is, you are seeing your galaxy where there are millions and millions of other stars and other planets and other suns. Here is your own sun somewhere here. Here. Sun's location. It can't be even seen. It can't be even seen. Kahan gaye wo bade bade suraj, ab wo bhi nahi nazar aa rahe. Somewhere in the universe. And then the universe is filled with so many different galaxies. And then the idea of the scientist that this might be just a part of it what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. And in this there are so many galaxies and things, and it's expanding, and it still might be a speck of dust in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge of the scientist and a human being, actually, that's why the great scientists, the astrophysicists and those people who study these type of things, they say that they are overwhelmed by the greatness of the creation of Allah, and they can just get an indication of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hum kisko pahad bana ke baithe hue hain, zameen ko jo nazar bhi nahi aati. So we come back to this diagram which I mentioned to you. So here, bigger than this kingdom, all of this what I have shown you, they are like a speck of dust in front of the first heaven. Pehle asman ke niche wo aise hai ke jaise kuch bhi nahi. Aur usi tarah dusra, teesra, chautha, panchwa, chhatta, saatwa, aur phir jannat itni badi hai. The paradise is such great that actually it is even bigger than the seven heavens. Phir kursi, phir arshe ilahi, aur hum kahan phir rahe hain? Chote se ek mulk mein, ek duniya mein, and lad lad ke ek dusre se, lalach kar kar ke, aur kar kar ke, tabah kar rahe ek dusre ko. Here you are, but then there is a world which is bigger, barzakh is bigger than this, all of this dunya. Ye barzakh mein aap jayenge. Phir kiamat ka din bhi bohut bada hai. Oh, phir jannat aur dozakh. So, and now I invite you, those brothers, I have advised that whoever is on the course, they should actually also be steadfast, and if they are falling behind, they should try to get that power by listening to 4 or 5 discourses, attending the majalis of zikr and doing their own zikr. Only then they will be afloat. Otherwise, they will be same as those people who do not know, who have not heard about the path to Allah. They will be same as that. And how you start the journey, as I said, that this is also your universe of 7 organs of the body which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. You start purifying them. This is the beginning of your journey after the right beliefs and rules. And you will give a good time, easy time to your parents. You will be a mercy for your neighbors. You will be mercy for other Muslims and non-Muslims, and the community and the country and the world. It's because of the 7 organs that all these things are actually happening and using. And I say again and again, those people who have known the course, I think many of them are worse than people who have never heard about the Tariqa Muhammadiyya. That is my opinion. They are worse than many, many people, because the light of Iman, the Mashaikh say, can be seen on the heads of people. And many of the people who've never heard about the Tariq, but they're generally normal people, they are much good than the people who've spent years and years, but they only years and years, they have knowledge only, no actually light and no practical aspect of it. It's equal, but sometimes it is worse. How you will do that, inshallah, there is an easy way to do it. How you purify your organ, the brothers will also explain to you. And the sheet of the tongue, Brother Shafiq, if you can just go through it, and inshallah. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah.
As-salamu alaykum. The course of self-purification, like I said, it is further from everyone, and you've heard all the reminders. It's not rocket science, it's your own bodily organs which would. Shaitan tempts you and makes you commit sins with. And what you do is, it's a very practical situation. You get a sheet and take your mouth, for instance, there's about 15 odd sins, not to swear, not to slander, not to gossip, not to lie. And every day you tempt not to commit a sin, and every day you succeed in not committing a sin, you give yourself a tick. And then another day, another day, another day, and let's say, for instance, you did 9 days, and on, say, on the 10th day you swore at someone, you go back to day one. And then you start again, and if you did 20 days and then you lied on the 20th day, you go back to day one. Now once you've done 30 days, then at least you can say that your tongue is under your control. So then at least the shaitan didn't get you to use your tongue against you. So then once you've accomplished that task, then you move on to the next organ. And then the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And while you do that, then at least when you've done, accomplished the 7 organs of your body, then you can say physically, at least you are the master of your body, and not your body is the master of you. And then there is also the mind, and there is the heart. Now there is three stations. Now, as you go through the tongue, like as I was saying, you all know the knowledge, but where do you get the power to do this? And then you will be given the zikr. This is your power station. This is the power house where you generate the power. That for 10 minutes or 20 minutes, as much will be given to you, you recite this kalma la ilaha illallah. It's the greatest of all zikrs. This was the zikr of the anbiya. This is, there is no superior zikr than this. There is no greater power than this. And you start off with la right in the middle, like I said earlier on. This is where your nafs is. And you say, it is not ilah to be worshipped, illallah, except Allah in your heart. So you are given this zikr to do. Now this is the source of power. This will give you the energy, this will bring you closer, this will give you the want and to do this and stay on the course. Then also, then you will be given this, this is the name of Allah. You look at this. Every desire that ever came into anybody's heart was came through the eyes. Before you desire a woman, before you desire a house, before you desire a car, you saw it and fell in love with it. And the one who is deserving of our love is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are given a 10-minute muraqabah. You will read in books a muraqabah, you will hear people and people doing muraqabah. But what is a muraqabah? This is something you will practically do yourself. Before I came on this trip, I did not know what a muraqabah was. I only heard that certain people did it. You are fortunate that there is someone here to teach you how to do a muraqabah. Passing you these gifts. These are pearls. Don't deny yourself this. Muraqabah is a wonderful way of connecting yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You sit in the presence of Allah. You look at the name of Allah. You cannot see Allah, but you can see His name. See His name and then have it imprinted inside you. Hold that vision and then communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your heart and your mind. And then you do this for 10 minutes, which is a muraqabah. This is what will bring you closer. The zikr will give you the power. So if there's any brother who would like to start this course, please put up your hands. And there is no charge for it. And then we will show you how you can do it. And you can think about it. He was brought here by the will of Allah. He sat in his house. You heard the warnings. It has been said to you, if any brother wants to join, please put up your hand. May I remind you once again, it's not something that is optional. There is something you have to do. It's stated in the Quran that you have to purify yourself. Okay, if there's any brother who wants to approach us later, who wants to know about the course, you can approach any brother and we will go through the course with you. Tell you how it can be done. Okay, there's a Jama'ah in this very mosque till Wednesday. Any moment that is spent in the way of Allah is not wasted. You can learn, spend some time, have company with other people that are travelling towards Allah. You learn. So there is, please join the Jama'ah that is taking place in this mosque. There's a Jama'at in Derby the weekend, Friday the 6th to Sunday the 8th. If brothers want to stand up and put their hands up and give their names for that. There is a Durud As-Salam Majlis that takes place every month. The next one will be the 1st of July and it will be in order at 8:15. Please bear that in mind. Text will be go out. For those brothers who don't receive text, please note it down. The next Majlis will be in Hyde next Monday at 7:30. There is a Jama'at going to Denmark almost every month. So if any brother wants to give their names for that, please put up your hands and give your names to the whole phone for that. There is also a Jama'at going to Morocco in September. And I would like just to say this to parents or children who are in teenagers. Please consider this. A lot of parents are open afraid, do not know what to do with their children. Send your children to these jamaats. And you will see, I guarantee you will see a change in your children. What you have to do is take them out of the environment that they're in and put them into a better environment. There is time, it will be in September. Encourage, put your children's name down and send them to these jamaats in the way of Allah. Let them learn and spend company during the salahs, inviting other people, and inshallah you will see when they come back, it will be money well spent and time well spent. And anyone who wants to change, who cannot escape their friends and their neighborhood and all the rest, please give your name in for that as well. There will be a jamaat during September. Highly recommended, please go. There's also a jamaat going to Turkey in October. There is that as well. Please consider it and try to work out your holidays and take time off and save your money for that as well. And you can give your names in for that. And there will be a jamaat going to Bangladesh as well later on. The dates will be given to you. So for now, it's time to start preparing, to organize your holidays and saving money and mentally preparing for these jamaats.
Inshallah, after the salah and prayer, you may sit there as study circle, which people, brothers, remind you of what you have heard and how to start your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to have a feel and an experience in 15-20 minutes. So do sit after the Maghrib salah, and plus if you have any question, you can ask them as well. And now inshallah we'll prepare for the majlis of zikr for a short while until Maghrib.
Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah.
Now, as you know, this is the method of zikr. All everybody trying to sit in the tashahud position, that is the most liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you get later on, when you get tired, you can stop your position. The three fundamental keys are that Allah is with me, watching me and hearing me. They are not just words. In reality, Allah is closer to you than your jugular vein. Remember that. Beseech Allah that He guides you, that cleanses you. Please come forward as to make room. Come forward, please come more forward a bit more. Because there are brothers in the back of the positions. Please come forward. Try to stay with Hazrat and Zahid and Zikr. Don't leap in front of them. And when they stop in between the Zikr, please carry and continue your Zikr till they start a new Zikr. Imagine that the lights of Allah, in the name of Allah, is above us, above Hazrat Sahab, and then the light from that is striking them, and then striking you and cleansing you of all your deeds and darkness and turning them into light.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Astaghfirullah. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا.
الإمداد إيمان أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا
إلا الله إلا الله
الله إلا لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله هو الله الذي لا المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر 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 سبحان الله 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 والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي سبحان الله عما يشركون سبحان الله عما يشركون سبحان الله عما يشركون سبحان الله عما يشركون والله الخالق البارئ المصور هو الله 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 الخالق البارئ له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا الحي القيوم الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه الله صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم اللهم صل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم.
Now we will do a short muraqaba, meaning looking at the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal, which you should be able to see on the screen. The method is, first you, after we'll cite Bismillah and the some zikr, and then you will look at the name of Allah with your eyes open and focus, blink less unless it is needed, and then after a short while I'll say that you close your eyes, then you close your eyes and you try to imprint this name in your mind, in the darkness of mind. Try to imagine and picturize and see, visualize the name of Allah, and let your heart be in connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and mind in the visualization of the name of Allah, and the tongue is silent. کا طریقہ یہ ہے کہ پہلے آپ بسم اللہ شریف پڑھیں گے اکٹھا, پھر اس کے بعد آپ دیکھیں گے اللہ کے نام کو کچھ دیر کے لیے, پھر میں عرض کروں گا آنکھیں بند کر لیں, پھر آپ آنکھیں بند کر کے اس نام کا تصور ذہن میں کریں گے کہ اس سے نور و روشنی نکل رہی ہے, آپ کے ذہن کو روشن منور کر رہی ہے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم بسم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Now look at the name of Allah عز و جل آپ دیکھنا شروع کر دیں خاموشی کے ساتھ Now close your eyes. اب آنکھیں بند کر لیں اور آنکھیں بند کر کے اس نام مبارک کا تصور کریں.
سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله والشكر لله نستغفره ونتوب إليه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمشايخنا ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم أكرمنا بالتقوى وجملنا بالحلم وزيننا بالعلم ونستعينك على طاعتك ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا اللهم يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا أفضل الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا رحم المساكين فاغفر لنا وافو عنا وافو عنا إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم يا جواد يا غفور يا أرحم الراحمين يا رب العالمين يا رب مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين يا أرحم الراحمين we are your sinful servants they are your pious and righteous people obviously on this face of the earth and this place يا رب العالمين forgive us sinful people and people like myself and the entire from the entire jinnat and human beings يا أرحم الراحمين cleanse our hearts and minds and bodies from the darkness and the filth which we have brought upon ourselves and have darkened our pure bodies which you had given us pure, the hearts which you had given us pure, the mind which you had given us pure, but we have spoiled and darkened it because of your disobedience and the obedience of shaitan and nafs and the love of dunya. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, enable us to realize the purpose and the, of our existence and the purpose of our life. Enable us to live it and experience it. And on the way shown by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, grant us your love, the love of your beloved sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the love of anbiya, awliya, salihin, akhira, and the good deed. Ya arhamar rahimin, ya malik al-yawm, cleanse our heart from the love other than you, the love of sins, the eagerness of sins, the attractions of the dunya, the attractions of the nafs. Ya arhamar rahimin, save us. Ya Rabbal Alameen, give us the power to stand up on the path of truth. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, grant us the wisdom which we need to settle our lives which we have actually destroyed, Ya Rahman, and disintegrated. Ya Rabbal Alameen, you are all powerful, almighty. Help us with your power. Give us victory over our nafs. Give us the victory over our evil self, our habits, and our engagements and the dunya. Give us victory over shaitan. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, save us from the hasidin and save us from all evil internally or externally. Fulfill our lawful desires and wishes. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, we believe there is no Lord except you. We bear witness, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, you are the only deity, you are the only ilah. Although we are falling short of your majesty and the worship and belief, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, still we believe in the heart, from the corner of the heart, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, anywhere, that you are the true Lord, your messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the true and only messenger until the day of judgment. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, if any brother, mother, sister is in difficulty, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, help them of their financial matters, of their medical and social matters, of their health wise and spiritually as well. Give us shifa, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Enable the children to be obedient to the elders and the elders to do their good tarbiyah and have shafqa on them. Ya Rahman, anyone who has any court case, any exam, any other difficulty, a traveler, any business difficulty, work difficulty, you are better aware of all your servants and their needs and difficulties. Solve them, set their difficulties at ease. Give us serenity and the peace and wisdom to deal with whatever has come upon us, Ya Rabbal Alameen, from the tests of this world. Ya Rahman Rahim, ilham par fazl o karam aur rahm farma, fazl o karam wala maamla farma, maafi aur maghfirat wala maamla farma, jood o karam wala maamla farma. Ya Rabbal Alameen,
یا ارحم الراحمین, ہمارے گناہوں کی ظلمت کو جو ہم نے اپنے اوپر جسم پر اندر دل میں بسایا ہوا, یا رب العالمین یا ارحم الراحمین, اس کو صاف فرما, اس کا تزکیہ فرما, اس کو جلا بخش, آپ نے معرفت کے نور سے اس کو منور فرما, اپنے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی معرفت اور محبت سے اس کو منور اور روشن فرما. یا رب العالمین یا ارحم الراحمین, ہم تیرے گناہگار بندے ہیں, تجھے رب مانتے ہیں, یا رب العالمین اس کی بھی توفیق دے ہم کہ تیری اطاعت بھی کریں اور تجھے ہی اپنے ظاہر و باطن قول و معبود, اور یا رب العالمین اپنے معبود حقیقی جانے. یا ارحم الراحمین, ہم نے بہت سارے باطل الہ بھی بنائے ہوئے ہیں جو دنیا کے شیطان کی صورت میں, نفس کی صورت میں ہیں, یا ارحم الراحمین ان کی ہمیں نفی کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما, اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہماری ہر جائز خواہش پوری فرما, جائز تمنا پوری فرما, جائز حاجت پوری فرما. یا ارحم الراحمین ہر ایک کی جو مشکل ہے اس میں بھی آسانی پیدا فرما, کوئی اولاد کی مشکل میں ہے, کوئی بیٹیوں کی مشکل میں ہے, کوئی بیٹوں کی مشکل میں ہے, کوئی مالی مشکلات میں ہے, کوئی اور قانونی مشکلات میں ہے, رب العالمین تو بہتر جان, سب کے لیے آسانی پیدا فرما, ہر میاں بیوی میں اتحاد اتفاق نصیب فرما, ہر گھر میں سکون و اطمینان نصیب فرما, ہر بیٹی والے کو مناسب رشتہ مہیا فرما, جن کے رشتے ہو گئے ان کے گھروں میں سکون و اطمینان سے بسیرا کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما, ہر ملک کو یا رب العالمین نور ایمان سے ہدایت نصیب فرما, اسلام کی ہدایت نصیب فرما, ہمیں اپنی یہ محبت کا, اپنے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سنت کا, یا اللہ اور تیری اطاعت و فرما برداری اور بندگی کا پیغام لے کر دنیا بھر میں جانے کی توفیق عطا فرما, پیغام پہنچانے کی توفیق عطا فرما. یا ارحم الراحمین یا مالک یوم الدین, ہماری دعائیں اپنے فضل و کرم اپنے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے وسیلہ سے قبول و منظور فرما. یا رب العالمین یا ارحم الراحمین یا مالک یوم الدین, اياك نعبد واياك نستعين, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين انعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, امين. وصلى الله على النبي امه وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم تسليما, امين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. استغفر الله العظيم.